That's fine, Deepak. Well done, Daniel. Did you skip breakfast this morning? I saw Daniel yesterday at our grandson's birthday party, and I said to him, "Oh, are you going to church? What service are you going to tomorrow?" And he said, "Oh, I'll be going to the 10:30. I usually have breakfast about 9. I said, "Come on, you can do better than that." So I'm not shocked, but it's great to see you, brother. Good on you, Daniel. So anyway, to start things off this morning, I'm just going to share, it's actually someone else's testimony, and it's something that's been happening, and it's a worldly, when I say it's an event that's been happening in the world. Anyway, it's to do with our daughter Olivia. She's in Denver in America at YWAM there. Anyway, if you remember back about 6 to 8 weeks ago, when the Americans pulled out of Afghanistan. So about 10 days before that due date, the YWAM group in Denver, where she is, they were praying, and anyway, they felt to send a team over there. I just got to be a bit careful what I say, for one reason and another. Out of that, they prayed. There was 14 people going, and they had 24 hours to raise $5,000 each to get themselves there and back. And consequently, that happened. And there was a couple within that team of 14. They also had another extra $100,000 given to them, and that was set aside as the start of a resettlement fund for people that they were going to bring out of Afghanistan. And they felt that there was 55 people that they were going to be bringing back. So the 14 went over there. They were over there for about 10 days approximately. And they didn't actually go into Afghanistan, but they went into a neighbouring country fairly close to the border. When they got there, they split into two teams. One stayed at the base as such, and the other team went further down to the border to a city which is actually divided. So half of it's in the country that they were in, and the other half's in Afghanistan. Okay, so they went down there and spent some time there. On their way back to meet with the others before coming home, they'd taken food parcels and things with them, and they felt to stop and talk to this group of people that they saw on the side of the road. And these people could not understand why they were giving out food parcels. So they struck up conversations with them, obviously. They had prayer with them. And then one of these people said, and pointed towards the hills, towards the border, and said that there is a secret pass there that the Taliban know nothing about. I have people that can help get people out. So they were pretty excited about that. When they returned and met with the others and they got back to America all safe and well, they felt that they hadn't really achieved what they'd set out to achieve, because there was about 20 people that were able to return with them when they returned. So the upshot of that is, firstly, the fund, the resettlement fund, had over doubled by the time they'd got back to America. So that was over a couple of $100,000. And secondly, as of this morning, so it's hot off the press, they've got 18 families who are coming to America. The first one's due to arrive in about a week or so. And there are literally hundreds of people that are in the process through them going there that are now able to come out. And they won't all, obviously they won't all be coming to America, but a lot of them will be coming into the neighbouring country where they were at. And they're looking at actually buying a home so that these people will have a home to go to. And Olivia just said that this resettlement fund is just, she said, it's just unbelievable what people are giving to meet the need. So I think the thing that we need to take out of that is that it's by our faith that we believe that God will come through, but God always has something bigger. It's all and it just demonstrates how big he is, and that it is way beyond what we can ever imagine, because we're always governed, if we're honest, we're always governed by what is tangible to us in this world, that always has some effect in the bigness of our faith. And God is always bigger than that. So I'm going to ask a special couple to come and share, and Maureen and Shane.
Pastor in South Africa. I always felt nervous about coming up the front. I've never felt comfortable with it. And he used to say he was always nervous getting up on the front. But he says his butterflies learn to fly in formation. Mine haven't learned that yet. I'm a long way off from that. James 1, verse 2. Is where God's been dealing with me in the last 3 years. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I've been listening to Rick Warren's teachings on a Sunday morning for the past couple of months, the following day, obviously, but he's been dealing with how we can use our pain. And him and his wife have had a lot of pain, losing a son to suicide because of depression. And he's just such an easy person to listen to and relate to because he's so practical. So he was sharing this the other day. First of all, we can use our pain to draw closer to God in worship. It either draws us to him or it actually moves us further away from him. But in my life, my journey, it has drawn me closer to him. He uses it to draw us closer to others in fellowship. And it is an instinct of us when we're feeling hurt or wounded to go into ourselves, and it's the worst thing we can do. And that is why I'm so grateful for this church, for Chris and Beth, for this family, for Erica in my home group, for Lindell in my home group, and for the friends that I've made in this fellowship. He can use our pain to grow like Jesus in discipleship, to grow more like Jesus in discipleship. We can be an example that people can see the glory of God that shines out from us. He can use our pain to be more sensitive in serving others, where we can relate. There has been issues that I've learned to relate to others with in my own pain. He uses our pain to witness to the world that we can be light, we can be salt to others. None of us like pain, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, relational. I have been tested in all these areas, as I'm sure you have, during the course of my life. But God, I am so grateful to Him, how He has come through for me and my family in all these areas. He has touched my body when I was diagnosed 25 years ago with an autoimmune disease. And my doctor, as you know, they always give you the worst scenario, made me think I was going to die in the next couple of years. And here I am. And people look at me and say, how can you be so well? I say, but God. He has provided my needs by giving me an amazing man who has always provided so well for me and my family. How He provided for us to come here to New Zealand to be with our family. That in itself is another testimony. He has given me wisdom in how to relate to others, my husband, my children, my friends. It's been a difficult 3 years for us. My daughter's marriage broke up, and she got divorced. I've watched how the kids have been so resilient. And I take a leaf out of their book. I've had to learn how to relate differently to her new partner. It's been hard for her too. She had a dream of being a policewoman. She injured her back and had to have major back surgery, and she's no longer a policewoman. So dreams that she had of a good marriage, of a wonderful family, of health and a good career, have also died. But we're believing in that death, there will be resurrection, because she's walked away from God. And we're trusting and believing God for a resurrection in her life, that she will turn to Him in this time. I just want to read Corinthians. Corinthians 1:3 reads, didn't bring my glasses. All praises belong to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering, so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them this same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. Corinthians 4:16-18. So no wonder we don't give up. Is this the right one? For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every day. We view our slight, short-lived troubles, it seems like a long time, but they are short-lived, in the light of eternity. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal, weighty glory far beyond all comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal.
You still have time. You know, once you give over to them, they take over. Right. My testimony is one that actually goes over a good number of years. It involves three people. And I've headed it up as, whose words do you believe? My father was born in 1927. It's significant because at a very young age, he ran away from home at 15, joined the South African Air Force because his two brothers had joined the South African Air Force. 1942, he was sent to Italy and was involved as a rear tail gunner in the Warsaw Air Bridge. He was wounded, shrapnel through his legs, through his calf, into his thigh. He was then medevaced back to South Africa. And here's the strange bit. The doctor said to him, you will never live to age 53. Why 53? Who knows? But he confessed that all his life. He died age 52 and 3 months. Right, the second person was an investment broker. After Maureen's dad passed away, I was asked to look after the estate, and I saw this investment advisor, and as I walked through the door, he got up from his desk and he was in calipers. He came towards me and said, do you also have polio? I said, well, I had it as a child, but I've had operations on my feet. He said to me, you must be very careful, otherwise you're going to end up just like me, in calipers for the rest of your life. Right, so yeah, we come to me. Born with polio in my legs. Had an op when I was about 4 or 5. 3 months in hospital. 6 months in Plaster of Paris. Learning how to walk. An operation involved stretching the Achilles tendon on both feet. Right. So that has resulted in one leg being shorter than the other. Maybe somebody's noticed that I do walk with a slant, but it's part of my character, I suppose. Right. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had a bit of pain in my Achilles tendon. So the first thing, of course, that goes through your mind is, uh-oh, polio's back. Something's going to happen. I'm going to go into calipers. But whose word will I believe? Will I believe that, as my father did, that he was going to die sooner rather than later? Or somebody else that says, I'm going to be in calipers all my life? But just like Jacob, my limp is a reminder to trust God. That I can believe for a good life and not feel sorry for myself. I know what I choose. But be careful of what words you confess. Amen. Just one more thing I just want to tell you. My father did die, and the last words on his lips were, "I serve a good God. I have a good doctor, and I have a good priest." That was his friend. So he did die, although he died short, he did die knowing the Lord. Thank you.
That was pretty awesome. You should get to know them. If you don't know these two, I just encourage you to get to know them and have conversations with them, because when you make the good connection with them, they've got some pretty amazing stories of what God has done for them. And I've been privileged to do that, and I know there's a few others have as well. So if you're ever feeling discouraged, just go and, particularly the guys, I guess, is where I'm coming from. No offence to you, Maureen. But, you know, Shane is just an absolute joy to drag things out of. And once he gets them out, boy, it's like a refreshing. And so just be encouraged. So just looking at the time here, just very quickly, Scotty, has anybody else got anything they would like to come and give witness to or testimony to this morning?
Just got a very quick thing. I got a blood test. Awesome, mate. Yeah, love that. Love needles. It wasn't for that. It was just for guy stuff. It is Movember, you know. So and I saw someone that looked familiar, and I thought, this is someone I used to work with in the lab. And I got the wrong name. But somehow she got word that there was some guy that used to work in the lab with her, and she popped in after my blood test, probably very unprofessional, but I loved it. And and we figured out who each other were, and she says, and she was saying to a friend, "This is the guy that I see walking and talking to people who walk the streets." And I haven't seen her. I'd finished work in 1989 in the lab, and I haven't seen her probably since then. But she's seen me, obviously. And the testimony I have is that be faithful in the little things. Do those things that maybe you don't really think they're just you. And people are noticing the Christ in you. And she said, he's a guy who leads a church, and he talks to people on the street. So there we go. Be that person in your situation, in your way. Faithful in the little things.
Amen. Amen to that. Scotty, could we just have that image up quickly just before we finish, please? Oh, okay. So anyway, there we go. So it's about the armour of God. And when Bronwyn asked me to facilitate this morning, this is one of the first things that sprung to mind. And just, it's how important the whole armour of God is. And, you know, we can get chinks in that armour where we get a bit battle-worn, I guess, and we allow things to slip. And, you know, I think it's kind of significant that the shield of faith is at the centre of our armour, and faith is at the centre of what we believe. And I guess it's quite often that's our faith. Well, my experience would be, my testimony would be, it's my faith that gets tested the most. Occasionally my sandals will wear out and I don't feel like moving, but most of those other things I feel can be overcome. But it's my faith that takes the hit. It's the thing that tends to damage us the most when we're in battle. And it's just being able to stand and to keep holding our shield up, just as Maureen and Shane, you know, testified this morning. The whole thing about faith is just so central to who we are as followers of Jesus Christ and loving our God, our Heavenly Father. So I'll just pray at this point and just close our time together this morning. Father, I just thank you that for each person that's here, Father, that we have relationship with you through Jesus. I really just thank you for that. I thank you that the very foundation of who we are is through Jesus. And Father, for what's been testified this morning, Lord, whether it be what's happening in a faraway land and we're not directly associated with it, Father, in spirit we are still connected. I thank you for that. For Shane and Maureen and their testimony this morning, Lord. Lord, for a couple that have come from another land to a new land, and yes, the same challenges or similar challenges, new challenges, but they've stood firm in their faith. They've been unwavering, Father. And I just thank you for that. I just honour them for that in your throne room this morning, Father. Even for Chris, Father, and just meeting up with someone from a long time ago. Like he said, it's such a small thing, but God, you still honour it as he has kept his faith in you over the years. So, Father, we just thank you. I thank you for each home that is represented here this morning, even those that are representing other members of their family that aren't here this morning, Lord. We just stand with them. We thank you for their faith that they have in you, and just ask a blessing. And I just pray, Father, that there would be an encouragement this morning for each one that comes to be a testimony to others as they would just go about doing their day-to-day work in the week ahead and in the weeks and months to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Murray. It was